United States Steel, USS, presents the Theater Guild on the Air. Tonight's play, They Knew What They Wanted. Tonight's stars, John Garfield, June Havoc, and Leo Carrillo. United States Steel Corporation, the world's greatest maker of steel, identified by the familiar USS trademark, invites you to listen to the Theater Guild production of They Knew What They Wanted by Sidney Howard, starring John Garfield, June Havoc, and Leo Carrillo. And now Lawrence Langner, co-director with Teresa Halpern of the Theater Guild, one of America's foremost theatrical producers, will introduce the play. Mr. Langner.
Ladies and gentlemen, good evening. This week we are in San Francisco, performing on the stage of the War Memorial Opera House before an audience of over 3,000. If you cross the famous bridge over San Francisco Bay and drive about 40 miles north, you'll arrive at the famous Napa Valley, where some of the best wine in the world is made. And we shall take you there for our play tonight. Everything about our play has the flavor of California. It was written by Sidney Howard, a Californian born in San Francisco. We have brought from Hollywood, California, three outstanding artists, John Garfield, June Havoc, and Leo Carrillo, to play the principal roles. And to add a final California touch, Mr. Carrillo is a son of one of the oldest families of California. We hope that They Knew What They Wanted, tonight's play, will be something that you will want, too.
And now the 500,000 stockholders and employees of United States Steel invite you to listen to the Theater Guild on the Air production of Sidney Howard's comedy drama, They Knew What They Wanted.
It is the summer of 1924, and the scene is the home of Tony Petucci, an Italian wine grower who has grown moderately rich during the Prohibition era in the beautiful Napa Valley of California. Tony's rambling one-story house stands on a knoll overlooking his extensive vineyards and the brown hills of the Coast Range beyond. The story begins on a bright midsummer morning, not long after the rural mail carrier has left a letter for Tony.
Hey, Joe! Hey, Joe! Come out here quick, Joe. Look what I find in my mailbox.
What do you want, Tony?
Oh, look at this, Joe. She answered. It's from Emmy.
Yeah?
Yeah, I
on pink writing paper, too, huh?
Yeah. What I tell you, you say she won't answer the letter. Look, she write to me. Look here.
Okay.
What's this? Read them, Joe. Read them to me.
Okay. Keep your shirt on.
I keep on my shirt, Joe. But we sit down here on the steps and you read them quick.
All right. Here, move over.
What's she say?
Dear Mr. Petucci.
Dear. You hear that, Joe? That's very good, huh?
Oh, that don't mean nothing. Everybody starts with dear.
Well, what'd she say? Go on.
Well, she says, yours received, and I must say I was surprised to get it. I don't make it a practice writing to no strangers without being introduced.
Oh.
But your letter didn't sound fresh, so I decided to take my pen in hand. Anyway, what have I got to lose? Ha, ha.
Hey, what you mean, ha, ha?
Well, she's laughing.
Oh.
And then she says, no, Mr. Petucci, to be honest, I don't remember serving you no scallopini dinner in the restaurant.
No?
But that don't mean we can't correspond.
Hey, we're going to write her another letter this week, Joe, huh? I got to marry with her. That's all there is to it.
Wait a minute. There's more here. You say you have a vineyard. That sounds real nice to me. Grapes always look so pretty growing.
Oh.
I was raised in the country myself, down in the Santa Clara Valley. Uh-uh. And here she says, I'd appreciate it if you'd send me a photo of yourself.
Photo? Oh, Madonna mia.
Well, she wants to see who she's writing to. You can't blame her.
Yeah, but maybe she don't like how I look, and maybe she won't write to me no more.
Well, that's the chances you got to take, big boy.
Yeah, but where are they going to get a photograph?
Well, you got to have one took, that's all. There's a guy down next to the bank in Napa.
Oh, but I ain't a young'un no more, you know.
Well, she can't be so awfully choosy, slinging hash in that spaghetti joint.
Joe, you go with me to the pitch deck, man.
Well, I'm busy spraying your grapes.
No, the grapes, they can wait. Angelo and Giorgio, they can spray.
All right.
You get the flavor, you go down now.
Whatever you say, Tony, you're the boss.
Sure, I'm the boss. And when you come home tonight, we're going to write Amy once more for me, eh? Joe, I tell you what to say. And then we're going to send the letter, a special deliverance with a photo, huh?
Okay, Romeo, if you want.
Oh, Joe, you're a good boy. You're a fine boy. You stay with me a long time, and Joe, I treat you like you're my own son. Hey, say, Joe, tonight we're going to write to my Amy and pop the question. Santa Maria, una bella ragazza faccia della Madonna.
Mr. Joe.
Well, what's on your oriental mind this morning, Archie?
See what I got here. Mr. Tony's wedding cake. Just come.
Well, if it ain't a Lollapalooza. You know, Tony, you're sure shooting the works. Here, put it on the table.
Me no get married, you bet your life.
You and me both. I don't want any part of it.
Mr. Joe.
Huh?
It's the holy man.
Ah, good morning.
Hi, Padre. Come in.
Well, well. It looks like the house is all decorated for the festivities. Where's Tony?
Oh, he's in the bedroom getting himself all dolled up like a plush horse. Hey, bridegroom, Father McKee is out here. Archie, you go bring vino for the padre, huh?
All right, good.
Sit down, Father. Anything we can do for you?
Ah, thank you, son. I came up the hill to have a serious talk with Tony.
Oh, well, don't get him too upset no more than he is already now.
And what time does the bride-to-be arrive?
Well, she's due in Napa on the 9:45.
Oh, Tony hasn't much time, has he?
You know, he's been stalling all morning, like he's scared stiff to go down and meet her.
Well, no wonder, conducting this whirlwind mail-order courtship.
Say, Father, you ought to have seen him a couple of weeks ago when we had to have his photo took to send her. Well, the only way I got him pacified was to promise to let the photographer shoot me first. And they were some pictures. Well, mine looked like I belonged in a rogues gallery. And Tony's ain't too flattering either. But this Amy must have seen something that pleased her. The answer is, she's arriving this morning.
I can't say that I approve. Joe, I didn't look to find you still here. Tony told me you decided to go away.
Oh, believe me, I ain't missing Tony's wedding.
You haven't been here so very long, Joe.
Oh, 5 months, and it's more than I ever stayed in one place before.
Is it?
Except once in the clink it is. I come here to bum a meal one day and just stayed on. You know, they don't come no better than Tony. He's a great guy.
Look at me, Polly. Look. Joe, boy. How do you like the wedding clothes, huh? Tony's one big sport.
Boy, if you ain't dressed to kill.
No, that's not to kill. That's to meet a Miami. I'm the most stylish fellow in the whole world.
Get a load of that purple suit, Padre.
What do you laugh about? That costs plenty of money, you bet. And what do you think of the new shoes, eh? The fancy buttons. They cost $9. Ooh, but they look much better than they feel.
Hey, how do you like your wedding cake, Tony?
Oh, Madonna mia. Look at that, Padre. From San Francisco, specially. $12 and 2 bits. Look at them. Look at them little dolls. That's Tony and he is Emmy. And the little bell on the top. He ring, eh?
Well, show some speed now, Tony. You ain't got too long to wait till train time.
Yes. I'm a leave it for the depot. Right away, quick.
You know, it ain't manners to keep the blushing bride waiting. I'll go crank up the fourth for you.
Thanks, Joe. But Joe, you remember, you don't go with me to the depot.
Tony's scared I might kiss the bride.
No, I ain't gonna let you kiss in Miami. Hey, you hear that?
Okay, Tony, I was only kidding.
He's too afraid that with these kissing and those jailbird songs.
Tony, I came up to talk about this marriage of yours.
Yes, I'm glad you come, Padre. I'm a very bad scare. Hey, Aji, what are you doing over there? Aji.
Just tell me, bling wine.
Oh, good. My stomach can need one big drink. Oh, Padre, excuse me. I'm so nervous I forgot to fix you a little drink, eh?
Just a drop. Thank you. Tony, I must tell you as your spiritual advisor, this wedding doesn't have my approval.
What's the matter? You don't like the wedding, Padre?
I've got my reasons for what I say.
Oh, go take a pinch of snuff. What reason you got?
Why aren't you marrying a woman out of your own parish?
Because we know there are no good women in this parish. Joe, he telling me about everyone. You know that boy, he get around.
I'm afraid he does.
So, I then go down all the way to San Francisco to look for the wife, and I find my Amy. Oh, Father, she's like the rose, all a wilt. But you put a little water on her, and she come out beautiful. I'm going to marry with my Amy, Padre, and I don't marry with nobody else. Hey, oh, here, have some more wine. It's very good.
Something else, Tony, that perturbs me. It's not good for an old man to be marrying a young woman.
Hey, what do you say? You think anybody want to marry an old woman? Go take a pinch of snuff, bud.
You old scallywag. Why didn't you get married 40 years ago?
I think you know why I no get married 40 years ago. It's because I'm a smart, you know. When I'm a young fellow, I got nothing. I'm all broke all the time, you remember? I got no money for having a wife. Mm. Now I got to find a house, and now I'm going to have a wife. Not for the work, but to sit and hold of the hands and have the kids. 3 kids. Antonio, Giuseppe, and I tell you, Padre, know what he wants.
Tony, aren't you pretty old to start raising children?
Dito, what do you say? Tony is too old. I tell you, Tony will have the kids when he's 100 years old. From the sole of his foot to the top of his hat, Tony is a first-class pop. Say, Padre, Dio, mio, my Amy is coming on that end, and here I am. You keep me sitting and talking.
Well, you irreverent old lunatic, if you're bent on marrying, I'll marry you. I've tried to do me duty.
For Pete's sake, Tony, don't say. Didn't you hear that whistle?
I go.
Well, hurry up. Come on, get in the flivver. Come on, you look. You've drunk too much, Tony.
You should be sore to go down there drunk, Tony.
I'm a little drunk. I'm only scared. I'm a very bad scare.
Bridegrooms is always scared, huh, Father?
Don't I mean maybe I'm sick.
Well, you'll be a lot sicker if you don't lay off of that stuff.
No, I know can't go for my Amy. I know can't go.
All right, I'll go then.
No, my don't I mean no.
Tony, if you drive down the hill of this condition, you'll break your neck.
No, Padre. I feel pretty good now. I'm going to drive fine. Oh, but Joe, I'm scared.
Get moving. Come on, beat it. Come on.
I don't want nobody to go for my Amy, only me, myself.
Attaboy. Here, let me fix your tie.
Hey, Joe, you don't get mad at me if I ask you something.
Huh? What's matter?
I got a very good reason, Joe. How soon are you going away?
Oh, what's the idea? You're trying to get rid of me?
No, Joe, it's something I'm doing myself, that's all. You go away, Joe. You know, I've been trying for 3 days to ask you to do this for me now. I'm going to pay you double extra now. Now, you go today, Joe, very quick.
Before your wedding? What do you think I am?
Oh, Joe, you don't understand this.
Say, if you keep that poor dame waiting much longer, she'll go back to Frisco.
Oh, Joe, please.
Come on now, step on it. Come on.
Dio, mio. Something very bad is going to happen with Tony.
Yes, miss?
Pardon me, Mr. Station Agent, but this here is surely Napa, ain't it?
Yep, it's Napa, all right. You think the conductor put you off at the wrong place? I've been noticing you sitting over there looking kind of jumpy ever since you got off the train. You, lost?
Oh, no. I'm just waiting for a certain party that was supposed to meet me.
Well, help yourself. This here's the waiting room.
Maybe you might know the party. Mr. Tony Petucci.
Petucci?
Yeah.
Raises grapes up the valley?
Yeah, that's the one. Say, is there any way I could get in touch with him?
Well, now, they don't have a telephone line out there yet. I'll tell you. The mailman ought to be along here any minute now to pick up the mail. Maybe he'll ride you up there in his buckboard.
Well...
Oh, I guess he wouldn't mind to have a good-looking girl for company.
Oh, that'd be more than kind of him.
Well, you just go and wait there on the bench. When Fred comes, I'll ask him. Say, it's none of my beeswax, but you look like you've been crying.
Oh, me? Oh, no. I must have got a cinder in my eye. Well, that's what I get, I guess, for sticking my head out of that car window, gawking at the scenery.
Anybody home?
Yeah, Fred. What is it?
Come in. Yeah, where's Tony?
Tony's gone to town.
Well, I got to get his signature on a piece of registered mail.
What is it?
It's a wife for him.
What?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, got her outside in the buckboard. Met her in hops. Nobody met her.
Well, didn't you pass Tony on the road?
No, never seen a sign of him.
Well, he must have took the shortcut. But how did he ever miss her?
Search me. Now, here she is.
Well, how do you do? I certainly expected somebody to be down there to meet me. I must say it ain't my idea of the way a gentleman ought to act, leaving me hung up down there at that depot. Well, as I told this postman here, I decided to give you the benefit of the doubt. Very often, plans just don't work out, and say, he was awful nice bringing me up here.
Only too pleased to be of service, ma'am. Well, I'm going to get out of my deliveries.
Thanks a million for the lift.
Oh, don't mention it. Goodbye, ma'am.
Bye.
Where's your trunk at?
Setting out on the station platform.
We'll send down for it.
Well, thanks. Gee, I hope nothing happens to it. My wedding dress is in that trunk. I bet you didn't expect me to bring a wedding dress, did you? I didn't expect to myself, but I don't know why I did, but I did. I just blew myself. I said you only get married once, and I got a veil, too. I got the whole works. Gee, excuse me if I'm talking too much. I guess I'm kind of nervous. Naturally, a girl gets kind of fussed coming off like this to marry a man she ain't never even seen.
Yeah, I know how you feel.
My, will you look at the decorations? Say, did you folks go and do all this just for the wedding?
Sure we did.
A regular Italian wedding.
What do you think of the cake here?
And that? Well, now, if that ain't the cutest ever. Say, it was awful nice of you to think of that. Oh, I can see right now I'm going to like it here. That's the prettiest view out there. Is them all grapevines?
Yeah.
You know, this is hilly and nice around here. Made me think of where I used to live.
Where was that?
In the Santa Clara. You know, I wrote you.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I forgot.
We had a big place in the Santa Clara. 90 acres in prunes and 50 acres in apricots. I guess I'll sit down. I'm kind of weak in the knees.
Yeah, take that rocker.
Thanks. There ought to have been good money in prunes and apricots, but the prunes didn't do so good, and the apricots got the leaf curl.
You're quite a farmer, huh?
Well, my old man was. But he got to drinking.
Well, that's bad.
So we lost our ranch after my mother died, but I used to love it there. In the spring when the blossoms was out, I used to climb up in the windmill at night when there was a moon. You never saw such a pretty sight as them blossoms in the moonlight. You could see for miles and miles all around. For miles and miles.
It must have been pretty.
You ever been in the Santa Clara?
Sure, I worked there before I come here.
No. Now, what did you used to do?
Cherries and hops. Big ranch, too. Bigger than this.
Well, now you don't say.
Picked fruit up and down the coast since I was knee-high to a duck.
Say, you know, you don't talk one bit like an Italian.
I ain't. Only by descent. I was born in Frisco.
I'm Swiss by descent myself. My father was born in Switzerland, and my grandfather on my mother's side, he was born there, too. I don't know what that makes me. Swiss cheese, I guess. Yes, sir, that certainly is some view from your porch.
You like the country, huh?
Well, after 2 years of working in a spaghetti joint... Oh, not that I don't like Italians. They always left me alone. Guess it wouldn't have done them much good getting fresh with me at that. Say, I'm getting pretty confidential, huh?
Oh, go right ahead, kid.
I guess I ain't got much reason for being shy with you at that. I wouldn't have never dreamed I was going to marry an Italian, though. But I guess I just jumped at the chance. Honest, I got so tired of things. I used to think I just couldn't keep on much longer.
Well, that's all over now.
Oh, I usually know which side my bread's buttered on. I just said to myself, he looks all right in his picture, and anyway, it can't be no worse than slinging hash. Hey, who's that looking in out there?
Huh? Oh, Archie, come in, pay your respects.
How do, missy?
Well, how do you do?
Archie's our cook.
You don't say. Well, now, listen, I didn't know I drew a chef. You didn't tell me that.
Oh, very good cook.
Take a suitcase in the bedroom, Archie.
Very good.
Say, I can't help but keep wondering what you think of me coming all the way up here like I did all by myself to marry somebody I ain't never even seen, only his photograph.
Well, you couldn't have picked a better man.
Well, say, don't get a swelled head, will you?
Who, me?
Oh, no, nobody. I hope you're okay, that's all. Believe me, if I thought this wasn't a permanent offer, I wouldn't be here. I mean business. I hope you do.
Me?
Well, now, I certainly ain't referring to the Chinaman.
Say, who do you think
Oh, don't get sore. The minute I came in, I knew I was all right. Honest, I feel just as much at home here as if we was old friends. Life sure is funny, though. Lucky for me, I can say that now and laugh when I say it. I ain't always been so good at laughing. I guess we'll get used to each other in time. Don't you think we will, Tony?
Tony? Say, I ain't...
Hey, go! Go!
It's an ambulance.
They bring Mark home.
What's the matter, Tony?
I knew I should have went instead. He wasn't in no condition to. But what is it, Doc?
Here, man. Easy now. Easy. Carry him in the house.
Easy. Is he bad, Doc?
Both legs above the knees. Compound fractures.
Well, why didn't you take him to the hospital?
I wanted to, but he raised such a fuss. It's a miracle he's not dead as a mackerel. That Ford plowed right through the bridge.
Well, the poor old devil.
Must have fallen 20 feet at least. No telling how long he was lying there. A neighbor called my office.
I never seen such a wreck. The car was turned upside down.
I found him lying in over a foot of water. You better lend a hand, Joe.
Sure.
Get him in there, give him another needle and clean up his cuts.
Yeah, put him in his room. Archie, hurry up. Turn down the bed covers. Now, stay.
I don't get it. I don't get it. What's happened?
Two broken legs, lady. That's what happened.
He's coming too, Doc.
That's you, Joe, huh?
Yeah, it's me, old-timer. Amy is here.
Amy? Amy is all right, Joe?
Sure.
You've been making everything all right?
Sure, everything's fine.
Where is my Amy? Oh, Amy. Tony's got too much pain, Amy. But don't be standing way over there, Amy. Come over here and shake her hands. You ain't matter with me, Amy. Amy ain't mad with me, Joe.
Nobody's mad. Don't you worry about anything.
Anyway, having the wedding just the same, huh?
Sure we will.
All right, boys, take him on in the bedroom.
Oh. Amy, Doc, you fix me up quick.
Gee, this is tough on you. Sure tough on you.
Who is that old guy?
That's Tony.
That old guy ain't Tony. That old guy.
Yeah, it is.
No.
Well, it's too bad Tony never got to meet you at the depot. It's too bad he wasn't there when you come.
Say, I'm getting out of here. Well, of all the...
No, listen, that ain't Tony's fault. He had an accident.
Well, honest, this here's the worst I ever heard. The very worst. I can't get over it. Well, of all the dirty, low-down tricks that was ever played on a girl, this is the worst.
Well, what are you doing sitting out there like you had a ramrod on your back?
I'm waiting for someone to take me back to the depot.
Come on, I'll take you if you're so hipped on running out on a poor guy that's just been banged up.
Say, you've got some nerve being sore at me.
Come on, what's your squawk?
All right. I'll show you what my squawk is. Is this here a photo of you or ain't it?
Wait a minute. Where'd you get that?
It come to Frisco in the mail to me, that's where.
Say, Tony didn't send you this picture of me, did he? Tell me, did Tony send you this?
Ain't I just told you?
Well, I'll be... Well, you must have been plumb crazy. He was so dead gone on you, he was afraid you wouldn't have nothing to do with it, an old man like him.
And I suppose you never knew nothing about it.
Well, honest, Amy, it's the God's truth. I admit I wrote them letters for Tony, but it was only because he didn't write English as good as I.
Oh, that ain't no excuse.
Well, you're right. It's a dirty trick, the dirtiest trick I'd ever heard. And he's crazy to think he can get away with it. Only Tony never meant no harm. He ain't nothing but a big-hearted kid. Look, I'll do everything I can to square it. And you can go back to Frisco
and... Oh, can I? And what do you expect me to do when I get there? Ain't I thrown up my job? Do you think job's as easy for a girl to get? And ain't I spent every last cent I got on my trousseau?
I'll make Tony square that, too. Now here, crying won't help.
If I gotta go back and wait on tables, what do you suppose all them girls will say when they see me? And I ain't even got the price of my ticket.
I told you, we'll fix that.
I ain't going back, I can't. That's all there is to it.
It's up to you, sister.
Why should I go? I like the country. This place suits me all right. It's just what I was looking for. I'm here and I may as well stick. I guess he ain't so bad at that. I guess I could do a lot worse. If he wants to marry me, I'm game. I'm game to see it through. It's nice up here.
You're nice, too.
Now look here, Mr. Joe. Now I'm staying. I gotta ask you not to get too personal.
In a moment, we will continue with the second act of They Knew What They Wanted, produced by the Theater Guild on the Air and sponsored by the United States Steel Corporation. And here speaking for United States Steel is George Hicks.
Good evening. Tonight I'm talking to you from San Francisco, and I hope that all of you will be able to visit this beautiful city, so well named the Queen City of the Pacific. San Francisco has a magnificent and colorful history. But what's more important, she is today, along with the rest of the Pacific Coast, well on our way to an exciting economic and industrial future. Today, as in the past, we of the United States Steel Corporation are proud of our part in this expansion. Right now, for example, our Western subsidiary, the Columbia Steel Company, is busy building a $25 million addition to the present facilities of its 400-acre steel mill at Pittsburgh, California, just 40 miles up the bay from San Francisco. This new addition is an ultra-modern tin plate and steel sheet mill, which will greatly increase the supply of these much-needed steel products, especially a vitally necessary tin plate for the great can-making industry of the Pacific Coast. Perhaps I should tell you something about tin plate and why this product is so important to you. Next time you're in your favorite grocery store, take a look at the shelves of canned vegetables, meat, soups, and other foods. Then remember that each of those cans is made of approximately 99% steel and 1% tin coating, according to specifications dictated by the research departments of the can-making industry. All those rows of cans on your grocer shelves may seem to you like a large supply, but let me call on your imagination for a moment. Last year, the can makers out here on the Pacific Coast produced 5 billion cans. That's enough cans to circle the entire world 16 times. And this means that the ever-growing Pacific Coast now requires for its can-making industry alone nearly 500,000 tons of tin plate each year. Much of this tonnage will be produced right here in the West by Columbia Steel Company, which in the future, as in the past, will continue to be a vital member of the United States Steel Corporation's family of companies, bringing you better steels and better products of steel for a better America.
We pause now for station identification.
Your station is KECA, Los Angeles.
You are listening to the Theater Guild on the Air, sponsored by the industrial family that serves the nation, United States Steel. Tonight's play, Sidney Howard's powerful comedy drama, They Knew What They Wanted, stars John Garfield, June Havoc, and Leo Carrillo. And now the curtain rises on the second act.
That same night, under a brilliant California moon, the festa, the feast before the wedding which Joe had planned for his boss, is in full swing. But poor Tony himself lies on a cot in the living room of his ranch house, his legs encased in plaster casts. The doctor sits beside him.
Doc, the most beautiful sound in this world is laughing people. Everybody having a big time at Tony's festa. But Tony, you think Miami like it, Doc? You think she have fun? Madonna mia, but I want to go out there so bad.
Now, look here, Tony. If you don't lie quiet, I'll ship you off to the hospital where you belong. Half of what you went through this morning would have killed an ordinary man.
Oh, that's right. Tony's very sick, very sick.
It's after midnight. High time those coyotes went home.
Hey, what are you talking about? That fellow Luigi is no coyote. He's a fine music artist.
It's a marvel to me that man has any lungs left. He's been howling for 5 hours.
Hey, Doc. You think maybe my legs is going to be well next week?
Next week? I only hope, Tony, that you may be well in 6 months.
6 months? Porca miseria.
Tony, you don't seem to realize what a bad smash-up you had. Both tibia and fibula are fractured in the right leg.
Tibula, fibula? What do you mean?
And you talking about getting married today. You're incorrigible.
Oh, go take a pinch of snuff. Tomorrow I'm going to marry my Emmy, and nobody is going to stop me.
I can see your bride's going to have her hands full taking care of you.
Well, how you making out, Tony?
Oh, very sick, Joe. Is the festa going good?
Oh, going like a house of fire. The way they're lapping up the vino, it's a wonder everybody ain't stewed to the gills.
Hey, no. Italian people, you don't get stews. Only happy. Is my Emmy having a big time, Joe?
Oh, sure she is. Everybody is treating her like a queen.
Oh, that's good. Hey, Doc, will you excuse me? I want to talk with you, Joe.
Tony, I'm putting you in your bedroom to sleep in 10 minutes.
Oh, just a little while more longer, Doc. Please.
I won't be responsible unless you obey me.
I'll handle this old bird for you, Doc. What's on your mind, Tony?
Oh, Joe, it's Amy.
What are you squawking about? She's marrying you tomorrow, ain't she?
Yeah, but I'm scared, Joe. I love my Amy, but she don't love me.
Give her time, can't you? She wouldn't have stayed here if she wasn't going to go through with her end of the bargain.
Say, Joe, she was a pretty burn up this morning and mad, though.
I tell you, everything is all right, Tony. Just be good to her and take care of her. That's what Amy needs, the poor kid.
Well, I'm ready to take care of her like anything.
You know what Amy was telling me? She's been having a hard life for a girl.
Oh.
And if she comes through straight like she did, well, there ain't nobody due any credit, just only herself. And that's a fact.
Say, Joe, you are smart the fellow, huh?
Well, I don't know how smart I am, Tony. But you can't tell me much about dames, you can't. Believe me, a girl gets a lousy deal any way you look at it. Mm. Now, take a fella now, a young fella like me, see?
Yeah.
It does him good to knock around, have troubles and all. But
a girl
can't stand it because it ain't in her nature. I've been making a study of dames from San Diego to Seattle. And what most of them is after is a home.
Yeah.
You take my advice and make everything easy and comfortable for Amy, and it'll work out nice as pie. You know, you're lucky you picked a girl like Amy.
Oh, it's no good, Joe. It's no good.
Oh, for Pete's sakes, Tony.
Joe, I've been a very bad sinner, and God is going to get me for sure. He's not finished with me yet, Joe. Just for playing that dirty trick with that picture on Amy. What do you think make me do such a thing, Joe?
Such me, he always was crazy.
God is going to fix me plenty. That's all right.
I seen God let a lot of worse guys than you get by.
You think, Joe? Oh, look, Joe, look. Look what I got.
Boy. Them's what I call regular earrings.
Those are real diamonds. They cost $400. I guess my Amy's going to like them pretty good, eh? You go call her, Joe. I'll give them to her right away.
Oh, boy, those will make her sit up and beg. I'll be right back. Oh, here you are, beautiful.
Listen, if you can't speak to me proper...
You needn't be so hard-nosed. I'm only trying to be friendly.
Well, maybe you are. But I don't believe in letting a fella get familiar when I only met up with him this morning.
You're a suspicious little dame, aren't you?
And anyhow, I don't think Tony'd like it.
Well, have it your way, sister, if you want to be so standoffish. Come on, Tony's asking for you, Miss Tobin. Does that suit you?
Yeah. Yes, it does. Certainly does. You want me, Tony?
Amy, come over here. You like the earrings, Amy?
Earrings? Well, now, who don't if they're pretty? Well,
go over closer.
Come over here, Amy. I'm going to give you my marriage present for you.
For me? Honest? Well, gee, ain't that nice and thoughtful of you.
Look, Amy. It's for making you happy.
Oh.
Yep. Lay back 400 smackers.
Oh, you didn't need to go and do that. Oh, gee, real diamonds.
Hey, don't cry. That's enough for making you cry, the earrings.
Oh, say, ain't they beautiful? Oh, I never dreamed of ever owning anything so gorgeous.
Amy, you ain't going to be married with it, Tony, for being so crazy, wild with the love. My Amy's so good, so pretty. My Amy,
I ain't mad.
You see, Tony, everything's hunky-dory.
Say, what's the idea? What do you got to do with this? You're always butting in. And come to think of it, I don't like your picture lying here on this table. Here, take it.
Hey, Santa Maria, she got a temper, Joe.
Take it, I tell you. I don't want it around.
Tear up the picture, Joe. Tear him up. Tear him up. He's better.
No, give it to me. I'll tear it up. Now. Now we don't ever have to think of that again.
Madonna, that's very good, eh?
There ain't no use of keeping things around to remind you of what you want to forget. Start in over again, new and fresh. That's my way. No memories for me. No hard feelings. It's a great life if you don't weaken.
Well, Tony, I guess you don't need to worry no more after that.
Hey, now you know why I've been wanting you to go away, eh, Joe? That picture photograph. But everything is fixed now, and you don't have to go.
Well, you don't need me around. You got Amy to take care of you.
Oh, dear me, that's no good. You go away and leave nobody for the for boss of the boys in the vineyard. You don't let him go, Amy.
I got nothing to say about it.
I gotta leave, Tony.
Oh, he's got them itchy feet. You tell Joe stay here, Amy.
It must be pretty swell being free and independent and beating it around the country just however you feel like. Calling in at a farmhouse for a plate of cold stew and a slab of last Sunday's pie. I guess it's a fine life if you like it. Only I never had much use for hobos myself.
Sure. I'm a hobo and I'm proud of it. I bet when Amy lived down in the Santa Clara, she used to keep a dog for fellas like me.
Ah, Joe, go take a pinch of snuff.
All right, you two, go on out of here. Tony must get some sleep now.
Oh, my leg is paying too much, Doc.
Well, I've got something that'll make you sleep. Here, take this.
I no can drink water, Doc.
I don't think water will kill you.
Yeah. Oh, hey, all right, Doc. Amy, why you look so sad?
Do you blame her? She had a tough day.
I ain't sad, Tony. It was a swell party, and everybody had a swell time. And when Tony's good and strong, Doctor, and don't have to be in bed all the time, We'll have that Chinaman carry him out in the sun, and I'll sit beside him and read the paper out loud, and we'll look at the view and feel that nice wind and enjoy ourselves. And if Joe goes away, why, he goes away, that's all. Don't nobody fret about little Amy. She's going to be all right.
Attention, everybody! Attention! Quiet, please! It's late. The doc just put Tony to sleep, and he wants you to go home so he can rest. And don't forget, you're all invited back tomorrow for the wedding. Penny eats and Vino.
Wait a minute. I want to tell you all good night. I had the very best welcome that ever was, and I'm the happiest girl in the world because you've been so good to me.
They say thank you right back. All right, beat it now. Bueno Nato, run along. Come along. Come back tomorrow. That's the big day.
It's all just like in the movies, ain't it?
It's late. You better go in and get some sleep yourself.
All right.
Well, good night.
Good night.
Just keep a stiff upper lip. Everything's going to turn out okay for you.
You certainly think you know everything, don't you?
Well, what's got up your back now?
I'll let it go. I guess I just don't feel so good. This cool air ought to help.
Well, maybe it's the vino. You know, I don't agree with some folks.
No, I guess I'm just nervous.
Well, no wonder, taking a big and important step like getting married.
Well, everything's so new and different.
But I wouldn't let it get me down if I were you.
Don't you worry none about me, Mr. Joe.
That's the spirit. Good night.
Good night.
Say, look here, Amy.
I don't remember giving you leave to use my Christian name.
It's a pretty name. Are you ashamed of it?
No, I'm not ashamed. Amy, that's French for beloved. Beloved.
Listen, kid, there's something I want to ask you before I go. I'm pulling out in the morning right after the ceremony.
Where do you think of going?
Well, I ain't decided yet. It don't matter, north or south. It's all the same to me. I've been here too long as it is.
What do you have to ask me?
You like Tony all right, don't you?
I let him give jewelry, didn't I? A self-respecting girl don't accept jewelry from a man unless she's going to marry him. Not real jewelry.
I know that, only it just ain't what I mean, because, well, Tony, he's a funny guy and all that, but Tony is the salt of the earth, he is, and I wouldn't like to see him unhappy or getting his feelings hurt or anything in that line.
You wouldn't?
No. And it's all up to you now.
I ain't been complaining about him that I remember.
Well, don't get sore.
Who's sore? I know what I'm about, see? I want a home, see? Well, I got a home, ain't I? Go on, be on your way and mind your own business.
You needn't get so huffy.
I'm satisfied. I didn't come up here like I did looking for love or nothing like that.
Well, I'm glad you got so much sense.
I don't know what kind of a girl you take me for.
You're a great girl, Amy, and I'm all for you.
Yeah, and I can get along without your patting me on the shoulder, too.
Don't be so touchy. That guy will be singing all night. Moonlight sure makes him crazy.
Joe.
What?
There's something I gotta ask you.
Shoot.
You gotta tell me the truth this time. You just got to. You really didn't know nothing about him sending me that photo of you instead of his own, did you? You didn't know nothing at all about that.
Honest, I didn't. I swear it.
On your sacred word of honor?
Honest.
I'm glad. And I want to apologize for what I said about your being a common hobo and all. I'm sorry, Joe. Will you forgive me?
Forget it.
I wouldn't want you to go away tomorrow thinking what a mean character I got.
Oh, nothing like that.
You mean it?
Sure I do. Well, you're crying. What's the matter, kid?
Nothing. I'm all right.
Come on. Don't let it lick you. Just make the best of things.
I'm trying to. Honest, I'm trying to.
You're marrying a good man. I know it's no picnic with Tony smashed up and all. But just hang on. It'll work out. You'll see.
I bet you all those people are laughing at me. And I bet you're laughing at me, too.
I ain't, Amy. I'm sorry. On the level I am. You're shaking.
No, don't. Please don't touch me.
Say, you're all right, Amy. You're plumb all right.
I always was till I come up here.
Come on, buck up.
I wish I was dead, Joe. I wish I was dead.
Oh, don't talk that way, Amy. Honey, don't cry.
Gee, you're sweet.
Oh, Joe, don't say that. You mustn't. You no, you mustn't.
I can't help it. Gee, you're sweet.
Oh, Joe. Hold me tight, Joe. Hold me tight.
In a moment, we will continue with the third act of They Knew What They Wanted, produced by the Theater Guild on the Air and sponsored by the United States Steel Corporation. And here again, speaking for United States Steel, is George Hicks.
One of the things which is naturally of vital interest to every American today is the return of peacetime products. We're all looking forward to the time when we can buy a new car or refrigerator or some of the many other products of industry. And though you may not realize it, all of those products are dependent on the production of steel, and particularly the production of steel sheets. That's because steel sheets are important in making your car, your refrigerator, your stove, your pots and pans, and a thousand other things. That's why Columbia Steel Company's new $25 million steel mill expansion is so important. When this mill at Pittsburgh, California is completed, it will produce almost 500,000 tons of USS tin plate and steel sheets every year. That will do much to help fill the needs of the West. It means that in the near future, a great new supply of steel will be available to make the things you want and need. And because this Western member of the United States Steel family realizes that speed is important now, the new mill is being rushed to completion. But at the same time, Columbia's present facilities are being kept in full operation. As a result, if you were in Pittsburgh, California today, you might see the interesting sight of a great new mill being built on top of an old one, which is going right on running. As sections of the new mill are finished, they will gradually take up and increase production, while the old machinery is dismantled and removed. The production of steel for peacetime America goes on and increases constantly. This is another example of how Columbia Steel is living up to its responsibility as a member of the industrial family that serves the nation, United States Steel.
And now the curtain rises on Act Three of Sidney Howard's famous comedy drama, They Knew What They Wanted, starring John Garfield, June Havoc, and Leo Carrillo. Produced by the Theater Guild on the Air and sponsored by the United States Steel Corporation.
In spite of his serious injury, Tom married Amy the next day. It is now 2 months later. Joe has stayed on to manage the ranch until Tony can be up and about. The grapes in Tony's vineyard are large and purple, ready for harvesting. As the scene opens, the late afternoon sun is streaming in at the open door, and Tony is reclining contentedly in a wheelchair, his crutches lying on the floor beside him.
Hey, you... You want to see me walk a duck?
You stay off those legs.
Oh, that crutch is fine. Look.
No. You stay put, my friend. Mrs. Petucci, if anybody had told me that day I dug your husband out from under that automobile that I'd have him on crutches in 2 short months...
My Amy is the best nurse I never see. She could nurse to the dead man back to life.
She looks worn out. You know, Tony, you're a handful to take care of, and I... You feel up to par, Mrs. Petucci?
Oh, sure, Doc. Sure, I'm just fine.
And Mrs. Petucci, you'd better come down to my office tomorrow and let me look you over. Give you a thorough checkup, just as a precaution.
No, but it ain't necessary, Doc. Honest it ain't.
No, Amy, you do what the doctor say. If the doc think you need to check him up, you go down and get it, check him up, see?
Oh, I don't imagine it's anything, Tony, but it's best to be on the safe side.
Doc, she faint the other day.
Oh, fainting's nothing, I tell you, Tony.
Oh, that don't make no difference. Tomorrow morning, the first thing I'm going to make Joe drive her down to Napa to see you, Doc. Santa Maria, we don't want to take no chances on the sickness, eh? I wouldn't have nothing happen to my Amy, no, sir.
Oh, I wish I had the wings of an angel.
Let's get back to the ranch, Joe.
Well, what's the rush?
Let's get back.
Hey, what's the matter? You look white as a sheet. How'd you make out with the doctor?
If you go wrong, you're going to get it sooner or later. I got it sooner. That's all.
What are you talking about, anyway?
I don't know how to tell you, Joe. No, I'm never going to tell Tony. I'm in trouble. The doctor just told me that...
The doctor? You mean you're going to...
Joe, what are we going to do? It'll kill Tony. Just kill him. And him being so good to me, too. I must have been crazy that night before the wedding.
I guess we were both crazy. But there's no use saying that now. The one thing we got to think about is Tony.
Maybe it wouldn't be so bad if I didn't love him. And I do love Tony, Joe. He's been so sweet and kind. Kinder than anybody's ever been to me in my whole life.
But don't I feel the same? I'm a swell guy, ain't I? To do a thing like that to a fella like Tony. A swell
Tony
guy.
Tony'll be just crazy when he's here. Just wild.
Being sorry ain't gonna help now.
And naturally, after this, I can't stay with Tony no more.
Of course you can't.
I ain't got no money. There's my earrings, but now I ain't got no right to them either.
I got a little money saved. Tony made me do it. I'll take you away if you want.
And now I gotta leave here. I gotta get away from here.
I guess we don't have any choice now.
Gee, it's funny, ain't it? This is the first time we've been alone together since that night before the wedding. But poor Tony will be thinking that right along, you and me. Oh, Joe, ain't this a terrible fix to be in?
I seen better. Yes, sir, I must say, I seen a lot better.
Emmy, I've been worried. I waited so long for you to come from the doctor. Hey, Emmy, take off your hat and sit down beside me. I love it to see the sunshine in your hair. Hey, what did the doctor say? You no sick, eh?
No, Tony.
Ah, what I tell you, the doc, he don't know nothing. Say, what's the matter? Joe will come back with you.
Joe's packing to go away.
Oh, that boy making me very unhappy. Why is he going away like that?
Something awful's happened, Tony, and I'm going to tell you exactly what it is, because I ain't having you thinking afterwards that I ain't been happy here.
Oh.
Happier than I ever been in my whole life.
Hey, what? Emmy, what do you say?
And I don't want you blaming Joe no more than you blame me.
Oh, I non capisco. I don't...
Tony, I got to leave here. It ain't because I don't love you, Tony, because I do.
Kiddie, what are you talking about going away?
Please, Tony, listen to me. You're going to kick me out when you hear me. It's only right that you do. I'm going to have a baby, Tony, and it's Joe's baby.
Dios mio. Emmy, you fooling me, eh?
No, I ain't fooling it so. And that's why I'm going to go away, Tony.
You been loving it, Joe?
Oh, no, I ain't. I ain't. I never loved Joe. Honest, I never. And he don't love me. I was just crazy. I've been straight all my life, Tony. Only that one night when I first come here, the night before we was married, I ain't even spoke to Joe alone since that day, until today in the car, Tony.
You lie.
I swear I ain't.
And you're going away with Joe.
I don't know, Tony. Honest, I don't know what to do.
Go
out,
Amy. Let me talk to Tony.
I already told Tony.
Joe, I'm going to kill you.
Go on out, Amy. Get out.
Now she's going to stay here and see me kill you.
Oh, Tony, killing me won't help any. I wish it would. They'd only string you up for it, and I'm not worth it.
Take it easy.
Wait a minute.
Tony, listen, we'll go away. You'll never see us again. You can't ruin your life, Roy.
Tony, I don't know what got into me, but it's a fine time to tell you, but I'm sorrier for this than anything I ever did in my life.
Sorry, you low down his neck and aggressor, corpo de
bato
de rum.
Sure, I'm everything you want to call me and more, too.
You know how I always feel about my Emmy, and look what you do to me. I tell you, I kill you for this.
Take it easy.
No, Tony, be careful, please.
Take
Tony,
it easy, will you?
I get him my gun and I shoot
Tony,
you.
Tony, take it easy. Your leg. Cut
Tony,
it out.
The ball will hurt himself.
Tony, you're gone crazy. You're out of your head.
Catch him, Joe.
Look out.
Oh, Tony, what have we done to you?
Help me. Help me get him back on the cot. Come on.
Joe, we got to get the doctor. We got to get him right away.
Poor old devil. Is Tony all right?
Dios mio. I shoot you. I shoot you.
He's right. I ought to be shot. Two
2 tickets for Frisco, one way.
That'll be 361.
Train on time?
Yep, as far as I know, she'll be pulling in about 7:10.
Yeah, much obliged. Well, here's the tickets, Amy.
Move my suitcase if you want to sit down, Joe.
You got anywhere to go in Frisco?
Yeah. Thanks, anyway.
Okay.
You couldn't blame Tony for taking it the way he did.
You know the trouble with me? I never learned to use my head. I'm just like some half-baked kid that sees a sack of candy and grabs it no matter who it belongs to. Well, I got my licking this time.
What'll you do in Frisco, Joe?
Well, I can always try the docks. If that won't work, I'll go south for orange picking, maybe down the Imperial Valley. It don't make any difference.
I can get a job myself. For a while.
Don't you worry, Amy, about that. I'll take care of the dough. I'll do the right thing if it kills me.
Now, try to calm yourself, Tony. I know what you've been through, and it's a great deal, but you've got to take it easy.
What I'm going to do now, Doc? Amy, she's left me.
Well, now, you can't say she left you when you practically turned her out.
No, I not turned her out.
Understand, I don't blame you. It's a hard thing for any man to forgive.
And me treating Joe all the time like he's my own son. Oh, Madonna mia. You think Joe is going to take care of my Amy, Doc, like he says?
No, I don't. How much money has Amy got with her?
She don't got nothing, Doc, nothing. Only them diamond earrings I give her. I guess she's get plenty for them in the pawn hawk shop, eh?
She might, if she'd taken them with her.
What do you say?
There are your earrings on the corner of that table.
Oh, Madonna mia, she don't got no sense at all. Why she don't take them with her?
Well, the way things ended, I suppose she thought she wasn't entitled to them.
Oh, she got no right to not have taken my present, Doc. How's she going to live? What's she going to do for the cash? It
won't be easy to get a job with the baby coming.
Doc, hey, look, that Frisco train, he don't go yet. Look at the clock. It's an even 7. How about it? You ride me down to the depot, and I give Emmy my cash and money. I got plenty of money.
You can't go anywhere in a car.
Sure. Look, Doc. Look, what are the crutches for?
Sit down. You want to fall again?
No, the crutches are holding me up for good. Well, see?
You take the cake.
Well, we'll make it, Doc. You drive like the devil, and we take the shortcut, and we get to the depot before the Frisco train is just as sure as a shoot.
Look, Tony, there they are on the platform. Joe, come here to the car. Bring Amy.
Doc, you brought Tony down here, huh?
I hadn't brought him. He'd have walked.
Amy, here's some money. You take the earrings, huh? You don't take those earrings. I got it.
No, Tony, no. I can't take your money.
You're going to have a baby. How are you going to get along with no money? Tell me that.
I got money.
You son of a whore boy got nothing. Amy, pretty quick. Joey's leaving you.
I swear I'll see her through, Tony.
Oh, it's no good. Joey's no good for looking after the woman. Amy, you ain't going to have an old baby in the street. No, sir. Tony, don't let you.
Oh, Tony, you mustn't worry about me. I just ain't no good. Good.
You ain't, Amy. You ain't going. You're staying right here with Tony like nothing happened.
Oh, I can't do that. Tony, it ain't fair for you.
Yes, that's a good sense. That's what everybody's wanting. You and Joe and me. Hey, Joe, you want to go free? All right, then. Amy, what she want? Staying as nice and as safe in a fine house with Tony. Look at Tony. Dio mio. Ask him what he want. Hey, don't he want a little baby?
But not this baby, Tony.
What I care what the people say. I'm going to tell everybody he's a Tony's kid. Then everybody's going to say, look, Tony's so young and strong, he'd break both his legs and have a baby just the same.
Right. You know, Tony, you wouldn't mean it later. It ain't human.
It's human. I got nobody to give my property to when I'm a die. That's for why I want this baby,
you ain't
Amy.
Kidding, you ain't kidding, are you? You're serious, ain't you, Tony? You won't change afterwards, will you?
No, Amy, what do you do? Amy, that was just a mistake of the head, not the heart. And a mistake of the head, that don't matter.
Joe, I guess maybe you better get on that train alone.
Yeah? You're not going? You mean that?
You sure? She mean it. Did you hear her, Joe?
Okay. Well, you know what you want. If that's the way you want it, I'm satisfied. I guess there ain't none of us got any kick coming at that. No real kick, and that's a fact. Well, so long.
Hey,
curtain has fallen on the Theater Guild on-the-air production of They Knew What They Wanted. Sponsored by the United States Steel Corporation, starring John Garfield, June Havoc, and Leo Carrillo. The cast tonight included Gail Gordon, Herbert Rawlinson, Eddie Marr, Elliot Reed, Hal Dawson, and Frank Graham. And here is Lawrence Langner again to tell you about next week's Theater Guild play to be presented by the United States Steel. Mr. Langner.
Ladies and gentlemen, next Sunday from New York, we're going to bring you Gene Kelly, who made such a success for the Theater Guild in William Saroyan's play, The Time of Your Life, and also more recently on the screen in Anchors Away. He will appear in the hilarious comedy Boy Meets Girl. This play, by Bella and Sam Spiewak, spoofs certain Hollywood characters in a highly amusing manner. I think you'll enjoy listening in next week to Gene Kelly in our presentation of Boy Meets Girl. And now here is Mr. Brokenshire again.
The United States Steel Corporation hopes that you'll be with us next week at the same time when the Theater Guild on the Air will present Sam and Bella Spiewak's famous satirical comedy of the motion picture business, Boy Meets Girl, starring Gene Kelly and Frank Lovejoy. Remember to listen next week to Boy Meets Girl, and remember, too, that when you see the USS label on any product, it means the steel is good. John Garfield may be currently seen in the Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer production, The Postman Always Rings Twice. Elliot Reed appears through the courtesy of Paramount Pictures. The staff for the Theater Guild on the Air includes Homer Fickett, director, George Hundoff, producer, and Armina Marshall, executive director of the radio department. Music for tonight's play was composed and conducted by Harold Levy, and the play adapted for radio by Kenyon Nicholson. Your announcer, Norman Brokenshire.